2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would please. We're going to begin in verse 14. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read responsively. I'm going to have you read out loud with me on the even-numbered verses, and I'll read by myself on the odd-numbered verses. So we'll begin together in verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. As we look to the thoughts of today, and we go to 2 Timothy, and Paul is trying to encourage his son in the faith, Timothy. And by the way, this morning we looked at the church of Ephesus, and we know that for a time Timothy was a pastor, the pastor there at the church of Ephesus. And he's trying to encourage his son in the faith, and this young man who's following after God, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we have spent much time talking about those truths and how we ought to be a skillful artificer, and we ought to cut straight the word of God, and we ought to labor and be diligent, to be earnest and to endeavor to search the scriptures and to make them what our life is all about. Folks, listen, if this book is not your everything, you've fallen short. You've got to hold on to this book. It's got to be everything in your life. It's got to, if you will, it's got to become everything. Now listen, in order to do that, we've got to let go of a lot of baggage. And we've got to grab hold of the word of life. God wants us to have a sure foundation. By the way, there's no more sure foundation than the Word of God. You say, well, what about Jesus? Well, Jesus is the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that our Lord, if you will, is in His Word, is His Word. You cannot separate the Word of God and God. You can't. All right? They're one. And so we need to realize that our foundation must be sure. Look to our scriptures today as we go back to 2 Timothy and chapter 2. I want you to look at something. Now, because I was slow, it's my fault, okay? I was supposed to finish last week's sermon last week, and I didn't. So I'm going to finish last week's sermon next week, okay? This one was supposed to line up with Resurrection Sunday, because it was important. But I want you to look at this. So we actually talked about verse 16. Shun profane and vain babblings. And that's where I got stuck. I got stuck on the introduction. Okay? Because I was supposed to go through and tell you what ungodliness was. And what canker was. And what the error is that overthrows the faith of some. Those are the 3 points of the message from last week that I didn't get to. So we'll be covering those next week, okay? From verses 16, 17, and 18. Now, I want to skip ahead today to marry up, if you will, the idea of the resurrection with the next part of this thing of study. Look at verse 19 where where Paul says to Timothy, nevertheless, okay? He says, look, people that do not shun profane and vain babblings will increase to more ungodliness. They will have a canker. They'll have some sort of an ulcer or a cancer, right? That's what the word canker means. These people, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they say that the resurrection is past already. By the way, that's not the resurrection of Christ from the dead. That's the second resurrection, the thing of the rapture and such and so forth that's going to take place, and the second coming of Christ. But it says they've erred and they've overthrown the faith of some. He said, even though that happens, and by the way, that happens, folks, people are fooled by religious ideas. People are fooled by wolves in sheep's clothing. People are fooled by false teachers and false prophets. People are fooled by false religions. And let me even further say, people are fooled by false Bibles. That's why we preach and teach out of one Bible, the Word of God, the King James Bible. It is the Word of God. All the others are false. They're false prophets. They speak lies. They have inconsistencies and they have omissions in the Scriptures. By the way, I don't see how God's Word can do that. It can't, and it shouldn't. But anyways, he says, nevertheless, and let's focus on the nevertheless, because that's what we need to realize. Did Jesus tell his disciples about his resurrection? Yes. Okay? By the way, did they believe him? Yeah. That's a tough one, right? So the short answer is, yes, they did believe him. But the long answer is, no, they did not believe him. Okay? Why? Because their actions showed that they really didn't know if that was going to take place. You see what I'm saying, right? Because we talked about this Wednesday night. If they would have believed in force, it would have been a whole different picture, wouldn't it? At the crucifixion, at the cross, at the mock trials, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There would have been a much more greater presence of support for the cause of Christ. And by the way, Peter probably wouldn't have been so timid denying the Lord. No, I don't know him. No, I'm not one of his disciples. You just cut a guy's ear off, Peter. Is that all you got? You know, I mean, you think it'd have been a little more bold, right? But you know what? Why do you think the Lord spent a lot of his ministry telling the disciples, oh, ye of little faith, no faith, you know, where's your faith? They had a little difficulty with that. By the way, we do too, don't we? But I want you to see this nevertheless. You know what? Nevertheless, even though the disciples didn't maybe 100% have confidence in what Christ was saying was going to happen, he still came up from the grave. He still arose. He still conquered death and hell. He still provided salvation for you and me. That veil in the temple was rent in, still rent in twain. And by the way, he still lives on high. He still ascended up to the right hand of the Father. And by the way, he's still coming again. Nevertheless. Hey, folks, listen. The vain and profane babblings, they're gonna be there. The people that eat away at our faith, like an ulcer and a canker, that's still gonna be the case. There are still some that are gonna leave the faith. There are still churches that are gonna close their doors. These things are still gonna happen in our world today. Even though he is resurrected, even though he has provided eternal life, even though he has said to overcome and to be what we need to be, even though he's ascended up into heaven, even though he's given us everything we need, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Folks, listen to me. It's not up to us whether this thing makes it or not. And aren't you glad? Because if it were up to me, Christianity would be a failure. Just think about that. Right? If it were up to you, Christianity would be a failure. And I'm not slighting you. Okay? I'm not being a condemning preacher. Well, I kind of am. But I'm condemning myself as well, okay? But honestly, truly, right? If it were left up to us, Christianity would be a failure. Nevertheless, look at verse 19. The foundation of God standeth sure. Folks, aren't you glad God's in control? Aren't you glad when all the disciples disbanded and were defeated and discouraged and went into hiding, that Jesus still stood firm? That he still set his face as a flint and went to the cross? That while his body was suffering on that cross, Jesus Christ, our Savior, stood the course? He did. And when he gave up the ghost, he provided that death, that blood, that was required for the remission of sins. And when he took hold of his life again and came up from the grave that third day, hallelujah. Folks, the foundation of God standeth sure. And listen to me. Whether or not you study, whether or not you achieve the status of a workman, whether or not you live through your life and you need not to be ashamed, and you, whether or not you rightly divide the word of truth, whether or not you shun profane and vain babblings, whether or not you avoid ungodliness, whether or not you avoid the cankers of this world that spiritually diminish or spiritually eat away at Christians and churches, whether or not you keep the faith, the foundation of God standeth sure. Take your Bibles and turn over to Matthew 28. A foundation is the basis or groundwork of anything, that on which anything stands and by which it is supported. I love these songs that we sing, especially during this time of year, right? I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today, right? I know that he is living. What does it say? Whatever men may say, right? Listen, folks. It doesn't matter what people say. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And you know what? That's the foundation of God. It's by which what our faith is supported. Jesus Christ is our faith. And we've got to understand that it's our faith that's foundational. It's foundational faith. And it's founded in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And what he did for us, what will we remember? Why do you think on this Lord's Supper table we have this idea that says, do this in remembrance of me? Oh, how quickly we forget, right? But guess what? Even though we may forget, even though our faith may be overthrown, even though we may have some falling away, and we may fall prey to some of the vain and profane babblings of this world, the foundation of God standeth sure. Why? Because of things like here in Matthew 28, verse 1. And the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came back and rolled back the stone from the door. By the way, how'd you like to be there for that? I mean, it's like rumble, thumble, boom, and stone goes away, and up this guy pops in a nice white suit and goes, woo! See, did I do that okay? And he's just sitting up there on top of that stone. That's why I wore my white suit today. And he pops up there. It says he rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Hey, by the way, are all those things pretty sure things? Can you just feel the confidence oozing out of this angel? Why do you think he has all this confidence? Because of his God. Folks, listen to me. The foundation of God standeth sure. There's no wavering. There's no wishy-washy. It is a sure foundation. It's solid. And whether or not we crumble, the foundation will remain. Folks, we've got to realize that that which is set is set. And guess what we get the chance to do? Live upon it. Build upon it. Grow upon it. We have that ability. Because of the sure foundation of God. Over in Luke 24, the other account. By the way, I just want you to know that all the Gospels have the account of the resurrection. All the Gospels have the account of the crucifixion. All the Gospels have the account of the trials and the beatings and the things that happened to Christ. By the way, all of them have something about him appearing to his disciples after his resurrection as well. Hey, did you know that not all the Gospels record everything the same? Okay? And by the way, one particular story might be in the Gospel of Matthew, and one might be in the book of Luke, but it may not be in John, or it may not be in Mark. But all of them have all of these accounts. Can I ask you a question? Why? Because they're foundational, that's why. Because there are things that matter. And by the way, the resurrection of the Lord matters. And it stands sure. I like the account here in Luke. It says in Luke 24, verse 1, it says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, Luke's account is second hand, you understand, right? Okay? And so, you have to realize, I think Matthew's is cooler, because the angel does all this cool stuff. Okay? So I like Matthew's account better. But anyways, Luke's account is good here. It says they found not, and it says it came to pass that they were much perplexed thereabout. Luke uses doctor words. You know, much perplexed thereabout. And behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. You know, shining garments is good, but lightning is cooler, you know. Shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth. They remember how he spake unto them when he was yet in Galilee. Now, here's what I like this. It says, remember. Remember. In order to remember something, what did you have to know the first time? Whatever it was, right? And so Jesus already told them that. So he said, he is not here, but is risen. They said, these two men in shining garments said to them, remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And then I like this part, because this is where we all live. And they remembered his words. Folks, as we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, We should, yes, shun profane and vain babblings. But whether or not we do, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. But folks, we've got to remember the words that he told us. Remember the things that we've studied. Remember the foundation that we rest upon. And that's how we're going to make it through our lives. We get to go back and remember. We've got to think back into what God has done in us. You realize that through salvation, there has been a work done in you. And the cares of this world and the busyness of life, the vain and profane babblings, the cankers, the things that overthrow our faith, sometimes do affect us. But we've got to remember. Remember that we've been created unto good works. Just like we talked about in Sunday school class about the church of Ephesus, how they were doing all of these wonderful things, all of these great things. They were working for the Lord, but they had left their first love. And he tells them to remember and go back to the first works. Folks, we've got to get back to the foundation. The foundation of God does stand sure, but we've got to retreat back to it. We've got to go back and remember what God has said, and we've got to do those first works again, and we've got to live as a sure Christian because of things like the resurrection, because of things like the death and the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible over to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Now, this particular word, foundation, is used in our King James Bible 11 times. And I want to take some of these occasions to talk to you about this foundation, this basis or groundwork, this thing that has been set, or this thing that supports our faith. We need to be persuaded that it is the foundation. Folks, we have to realize that what we're remembering in our resurrection of our Lord, the crucifixion, the death, the burial, resurrection, all these things, the ascension of Christ, are foundational things. They're not cunningly devised fables. They're not vain and profane babblings. These are the things that we need to live by, that we need to set as the foundation in our life. Are you there in Romans 15? Look at verse 14 and what Paul says here. He says, "And I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will dare not speak, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through the mighty signs and wonders, and by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. So you understand that Paul is preaching not his own gospel, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the foundation of our faith, folks. And it is a sure foundation. God knows who are His. You remember what Jesus said. He said that in the last days, some are going to come to Him and say, Lord, Lord, we cast out devils in Your name, right? We did these mighty works in Your name. We did all these things in Your name, right? And what's He going to say to them? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. What did they not have? The foundation. We've got to have the foundation. And we've got to stand sure on the foundation of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the gospel of God. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You're doing a great job of listening today. The good news for you is I only have 27 more places to go in the scriptures. It's better than 28, right? No, I probably do, but we're not going to get to them all today. Ephesians chapter 2, look at this. Paul again writes, wherefore remember, verse 11, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. At that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And by the way, we can just stop right there and say that's where we were, weren't we? Without Christ. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And folks, listen, our religion, if you will, is a bloody religion. It's supposed to be. Because without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Christ had to shed His blood on the cross. And He had to die and be buried. And He had to arise the third day. And He had to ascend up into heaven. Folks, these are all have-tos. These are the sure foundation of God. Look what He says here. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon what? The foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's a great verse. Or set of verses, I should say. Go back to our text, and we'll wrap this up today. Yes, I know you're shocked. But it's okay. We're just going to leave off the 7 other points that I have to get to. Look at verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. As Paul said in Ephesians, he said, look, in whom ye are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. When we realize we're a sinner and we need a Savior, and we come to Jesus Christ for salvation and cry out, Lord, save me, we're born again. We're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And folks, listen to me. We're supposed to be dead to the flesh. We're supposed to be dead to this old world, this carnal nature. And sin and iniquity and this old world and the devil have no power over us unless we give it back to them. And brethren, we ought not to do such a thing. Because we are the habitation of God. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we are to depart from iniquity. If we name the name of Christ, we should live in the name of Christ. And things like this remembrance of the resurrection. By the way, it's a miraculous thing, and I encourage you to go back and read Mark's account and John's account. By the way, I love John's account because he kind of disses Peter in John's account. Yeah, he just says, hey, I'm a faster runner than Peter. That's the story. That's the truth. But listen, these accounts, they ought to say to you, Christian, live like a Christian. Be study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, because the foundation of God standeth sure. He knows if you're His. And if you're His, and if you name the name of Christ, then live like it. Live like a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study the Word of God. Shun and avoid profane and vain babblings. Fight the ulcers. Fight the overthrowing of the faith. Fight the errors. Fight the ungodliness. Live victorious. Because He rose from the grave. Folks, our Savior's victorious. And by the way, He's not going to lose any more battles. And if you want to count crucifixion as a loss, I don't. I think it's a win. Okay, so I'm going to call Him undefeated. He's undefeated. So why not stand sure in the foundation of Christ? Christians, we can. By the way, we should. You know, go to Ephesians chapter 2 real quick. We'll stop here today. Ephesians chapter 2. Concerning our faith and this foundation of Christ. Look at this. Verse 8, you know. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. By the way, this foundation that's sure is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. He's the cornerstone. He's the sure foundation. But we are His workmanship, built on this sure foundation. He says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, with which God hath before ordained that we, what's the key word? Should. Should. Folks, Christmas, the birth of Christ, entering into this world, the greatest gift. Easter, this whole thing of the trials and the beatings and the death and the burial and the resurrection and then 40 days later, the ascension into heaven. All of this should be a reminder to us that we should. We should depart from iniquity. We should study to show ourselves approved. We should be rooted and grounded and built up in this sure foundation as the habitation of God. And by the way, not only should we can. We can. You know what's the victory that overcomes this world? Our faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ, our great Savior who rose up from the dead.